Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. Every day on Basic Gospel, you hear the Word of God revealing true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and it intersects with your life every day. We are live right now, on the air and online, so you can be on the air and pose your question or your particular issue. If you have a question or need direction for the tough issues of everyday life, real life, call now, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, of course, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel. And now, here is Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving, and I just wanted to spend a couple of minutes talking about the good news of Jesus Christ, because of any and all things that we have as believers in Christ, it's this gospel story. And that's what should generate the most thankfulness inside each and every one of us, because apart from the gospel story, we would still be lost and dead in transgressions and sin with no way out, with no hope. But God sent Jesus. God so loved us, God so loved the world, that he sent his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And that should just overflow our hearts every single day with this attitude of thankfulness. We all know the good news story that Jesus became one of us. He was born, and we're going to celebrate his birth here soon. But he lived a life at around 33 years of age. He died. He willingly submitted himself, became sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. He died. And right before he bowed his head, he cried out, "It is finished." His work to secure salvation, to take away our sins, was done once and for all. He was buried. Joseph of Arimathea took the body and laid Jesus' body in a borrowed tomb in a garden setting. 3 days later, the women went to do the body, to all the things that they do for those that are dead, and the stone had been rolled away, and Jesus had been raised. Jesus wasn't there, and they didn't know for sure what had happened. But Jesus showed up, and he said, "I was once dead, but now I'm alive." And that's the good news we celebrate. And Jesus had to do those things. He had to become one of us. He had to die. He had to be buried. He had to be raised back to life so that we could be saved. Paul gives an incredible explanation of the why of the gospel message in Titus chapter 3. In verse 3, he says, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another." Boy, that is a bleak, dark condition. And to think that anyone would enter into that world, our world, to bring hope and life is just beyond comprehension. But that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. So here was our status. Here was our state. Here was what we were trapped in, our own foolishness, our disobedience, the fact that we were led astray, we were slaves to various passions and pleasures. But, and this is one of those great words in the New Testament, but when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, that happened in a manger 2,000 years ago in a little town of Bethlehem. The goodness and kindness of God himself showed up in the form of a baby. And he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So this great gospel message, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, means something to us when it intersects with our lives and our hearts respond with faith. We are washed clean, we are regenerated, and then renewed by the Holy Spirit, so that we could become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's something to give thanks for.
You bet.
You may have very few possessions. Life may be tough, but if you're saved, you have all the riches of God Himself at your fingertips. He's blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Give thanks. Give thanks heartily. Let it be a heartfelt thing as you approach this Thanksgiving Day tomorrow.
Absolutely. Friends, if you have something you're deeply thankful for, we'd love to hear from you on this particular edition of Basic Gospel. Day before Thanksgiving, call it Thanksgiving Eve, I guess. If there's something you're very, very thankful for, give us a call. We'd love to share that with you. That number, 844-32-BASIC or 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742. Lines open right now. We await your calls. Want to hear from you on Basic Gospel today. Well, let's go talk to our friend Brad, listening in O'Fallon, Missouri. Brad, you're on the air. Let's talk it through here.
A couple of things today. I am very, very thankful and grateful for my Basic Gospel family, and it's been a good journey, and it started a long, long time ago, and I'm so thankful that through this ministry. I have come to know, and everybody can come to know, that one of the authors that we're all familiar with, Ian Thomas, says that God wants to train our minds, control our emotions, and those two things direct our will. And this is one thing that you've all been talking about every day this whole month, is the fact that this renewed mind, the gift of self-control that God gives us, will direct our will, that He's working both in us to do of His will and His good pleasure. And so I'm grateful that not only do I understand what's on the written page, but it's understanding that truth that really sets you free. I know so many people that know what the Word says. They know what is printed on the page, but this deeper understanding of what those words mean and how they connect together to bring about the truth is something that comes through, you know, study. It comes through being associated with brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, being associated with a local assembly, and being associated with a ministry like Basic Gospel. And one last thing, I'd like you all to pray for St. Louis. With what's been going on this week. I think relations here have been set back decades. And this poor community of Ferguson, Missouri, I doubt is where I was. I was raised up near there. I don't live near. I live about 25 miles west of there now. But this community is just horribly, horribly impacted. Everybody that lives there, all the businesses, it's just a really bad situation, and it's going to take the grace of God. And this is where that renewing of the mind and the self-control that God can give, and that God can direct the will of anybody who trusts Him. And that's the only real thing. They talk about changing laws, writing new laws, training police, doing this and doing, but we know that the true solution to any kind of trouble like this is exhibiting is a change of heart. And only Jesus can do that. And again, I'm so thankful for Basic Gospel and what I have learned in the journey that I walk on with your help.
You stated it well, Brad. Very, very well. Bob, yeah. Christopher, are you still with us?
I was just listening, and I sure appreciate your good words there, Brad. We appreciate you as always. For what God is working inside of you. And I think what Brad has to say about Ferguson is exactly right. It really gets to the heart and soul of the gospel message itself. You know, we are so quick to try to change or deal with problems from a legalistic standpoint.
Right.
So if there's trouble, we write laws. And then if those laws don't solve the problem, we write laws upon those laws.
Yep.
and we just keep building layers and layers and layers of legalism on top of problems. And until we get to the heart, until we can get to a person's heart and see change from within, then we're going to be lost. We're going to still, 1,000 years from now, still be struggling with things like Ferguson. And that's why it's so vitally important that we know this gospel message. Not only know it, but that we've heard it. We've heard exactly what it means that Christ died to take away our sins. We ask those questions of how does this apply to me? And as we start to understand the why of the gospel, then we become fully persuaded in our minds that these things are indeed true, that Jesus did take away my sin, and I am a forgiven person. I become fully persuaded with that, and then I have the opportunity to live it out. That really is the discipleship process. When Jesus said, I want you to go out and build disciples, that's what that discipleship process is all about. It's people, first of all, hearing the message, hearing with spiritual ears, seeing with spiritual eyes, and then fully believing, becoming fully persuaded that these things are true, and then living that gospel story out. When we're born again, we're placed into a new story, the new story of life in Jesus Christ. We have a place in that story. It's figuring out what that place is and then living that out as we abide in Jesus by faith. That is the gospel story, and that's why we need to vitally know what it is.
Absolutely. Well, Brad, We love you, brother, and thank you for your input. Yeah, we always appreciate hearing from you. Really touching. We appreciate so much having you as a brother. So happy Thanksgiving to you, and a blessed Thanksgiving to you and your friends as well. Let's move on and talk to Joey, listening in San Carlos, California, on our great affiliate, Sacramento affiliate KDIA. Joey, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi. Good afternoon, guys.
Hi.
The reason I was calling, because I've heard, you know, people speak on the Trinity in a variety of ways. I heard one gentleman say it's not one plus one plus one. It would be one times one times one. But then he says we don't serve a multiplicity, a community of gods. We serve one God. But he manifests himself in a multiplicity of ways. And I just wanted to get you guys' take on the Trinity.
Well, it's a good question, and we're actually going to be spending some time next month, the month of December, looking at the person of Jesus Christ, the deity of Jesus Christ, and we'll certainly be addressing a lot of those questions about the Trinity. First thing about the Trinity, you're not going to find that word in the Bible, so sometimes that word can confuse people. They look for it to try to find it somewhere in the Word of God, and they can't find it, so that leaves them scratching their heads, wondering what in the world it is. Well, it's just a word that theologians have used to describe what they read in the Bible. So just in the context of the Gospels, for example, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we see Jesus Christ the Son talking with God the Father. We see that, for example, in the Garden of Gethsemane. Well, how does that work? Well, it shows that there are two distinct beings within the Godhead. And then in places like Jesus' baptism and the Transfiguration, we see the Holy Spirit involved as well. So Jesus is being baptized by John the Baptist. There's this voice from heaven that says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." And then the Spirit of God descends upon Jesus in the form of a dove. So there we see this triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so that's the Godhead. And within that Godhead, there's love one for another. But they're all equal. And they make up the one true God. So God isn't three. He's simply one God in three different manifestations: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And those are distinct. And so when Jesus ascended into heaven, he took up his seat at the right hand of God the Father. So we're going to see Jesus Christ in his glorified, resurrected state when we go to be with him. God the Father is spirit. He doesn't occupy a body. And then there's the Holy Spirit. So those three make up the fullness of the Godhead. And as Paul wrote in the book of Colossians, that in Jesus, the fullness of the Godhead lives bodily. So Jesus was both fully God and fully man. So you've got the Trinity, which blows our minds, and then you have this truth about Jesus being both fully God and fully man, which blows our minds as well. But we see those clearly laid out for us in the Word of God, and so we take that by faith. I can come up with all kinds of different examples, but boy, they're limited.
Well, let me just say this. You hit the nail on the head when you said we take it by faith. That's the best way I try to explain it. Unless you experience Christ for yourself, I cannot put it in a perspective that makes sense to myself, much less explain it to somebody else. But I agree 100%. That's the way you explain it is my take on it as well. But boy, it is one difficult subject. Cause, you know, I try to be able to speak on any subject somebody asks me to, but there's just some that I find too difficult for me to explain in a way that would logically make sense. It's almost as though when Nicodemus asked Christ, how can a man be born again? It was a logical question, but Christ wasn't talking about natural birth. He was talking about a supernatural birth.
You got it. You got it indeed.
Bless you guys.
But
bless
what
you
we
guys, man.
You are so thank welcome. You. Thanks for your call and happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
Yes,
and,
indeed. Thanks. We appreciate hearing from you.
Richard and Bob, as far as Jesus, we know Jesus was a historical figure.
Yes.
We know he was born in Bethlehem. We know that he was raised in Nazareth. We know that at the age of 33 or around that time, he was crucified, dead, and buried. We know that. Those are historical facts. We know that he gave some incredible teachings throughout his life, teachings that amazed even the most religious and educated of leaders back in that day. It transcended anything that they had ever heard. And then he made these outlandish claims about his person, that he and the Father were one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, that the works I do, it's not me doing them, it's the Father doing them through me. And you can't look at any of that and say, wow, he was just a good teacher. The gospel accounts don't lead you there. They astonish you, they blow you away, and they force you to say either he was true, either what he said about himself was true, or he is just some nitwit out there doing incredibly insane things. But I think as the Word of God indicates, Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be. Yeah. And if I can say with my lips that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, then all the other truths are going to start piling up, and I'm going to see them for what they are. That's when my understanding is really going to take place, at that point when I answer the question about who is Jesus.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to go to Brooklyn and talk to Martin in just a moment. We have open lines, a little time on the clock, 844-322-2742. But I want to remind our listeners, Bob and Richard, that tonight at midnight ends our annual Thanksgiving sale. And Up until midnight, you can still save 30% on all the products available from our store at store.basicgospel.net. That's store.basicgospel.net. Or this afternoon during office hour times, you can speak with our operator at 844-41-BASIC, 844-41-BASIC. Again, that's a 30% off discount that you'll receive during the annual Thanksgiving sale ending at midnight tonight. Be sure, as you check out, to use the coupon code THANKFUL. That's the key word that'll get you, that'll trigger that 30% discount. THANKFUL at checkout. That's the coupon code. So at store.basicgospel.net or by phone during office hours today, 844-41-BASIC. Time to go talk to Martin, listening in Brooklyn. Martin, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Well, hello there.
Hi.
Hey, Martin. Great. Welcome.
Yes, amen. Now, what I wanted to share is Hebrews 10:25. It says, let's see if I have it here. Okay, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. I'll let you know what do they mean by that. You can explain.
Okay, great question, Martin. I certainly appreciate that. But as far as Hebrews 10 is concerned, there's this incredible passage. As a matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 10 is probably my favorite chapter in the entire Word of God because it talks about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It talks about what his sacrifice accomplished that the sacrifices of the old covenant could not accomplish. Those things were annual reminders of sin. They couldn't take away sin. They didn't enable us to draw near to God. They didn't make us holy. They didn't make us perfect. None of those things were true about the sacrifices in the old covenant. But then came Jesus, and Jesus died once. And in that one sacrifice, he took away all sins. And through that one sacrifice, he made us holy. He sanctified us. He perfected us. He delivered us to the end goal as far as God was concerned. And that opened the door for us to draw into God's presence. And that is the encouragement, since we have confidence to enter into the holy place. By a new and living way that he opened for us. Let's hold fast and let's move in. And then he goes on to say, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habitat of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. That our fellowship as believers in Christ revolves around the finished work of Jesus. The fact that his blood took away my sins, and Martin, his blood took away your sins. That's a demonstration of God's love. We are recipients of God's love. And as we fellowship around this wonderful truth and draw near to God and draw near to each other by meeting together, we do so encouraging one another and trying to stimulate one another to love and good works. Well, in Christ, we see what love is all about. We experience that. And so we can encourage one another as believers to live out that love of God in our relationships one to another and as we interact with the world at large.
Absolutely.
So that's why it's so vitally important for us to meet together as brothers and sisters in Christ.
Martin, thank you for your call and hope you have a blessed Thanksgiving. Bob, I want you to talk a little bit about the financial need as we approach Thanksgiving Day.
Well, Bob, I will. We've struggled all year with our financial situation. We believe that's about ready to turn. But I want you, our listeners, to consider the gospel message. Consider the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then consider making a gift right now so that somebody else can be made a part of that good news story. Somebody else can receive salvation, can be born again and brought into the kingdom of God. Your dollars, what God has equipped you with, use them as an investment in the gospel message. And give today. Give generously. We need your help.
Yeah.
Folks out there need your help as well.
You'll find a prominent support link at basicgospel.net. Hope you'll take advantage of that. Hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving, everybody. Special edition tomorrow. Hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.